begin to be in your house and to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, God, to be an encouragement one to another. God, that
which
gleaned what you'd have us do from this service tonight. God, you'd be with Nick as he teaches to us tonight. God, help us to be attentive, open our hearts, God, to what you have to give us tonight, Lord, and just to be more prepared, God, more knowledgeable about your word. And so, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share your word, God, to be able to do that. Thank you for a church that preaches the whole counsel of the word of God, Lord, and spare not the word of God. We know that you're a God of great love, but you're also a God of wrath, God, a God of judgment. Just pray, Lord, for any requests made to know of tonight, you know which heart, you know which name to give him for tonight. Here, comfort him, God, that is his pain. God, we pray for his age, Lord, that's coming home, Lord, and has that terminal cancer. We know nothing's above what you can do, Lord, and it's your love to heal you can. God, we just pray you be with them, Lord, and those that are lost in that family. I pray, God, that you use this as a way to show them, God, that life is short, and Lord, that they will also one day be called out of this world, and they need us there. God, help us all, Lord, to realize that as the ambassadors for you should. God, family, be with him tonight, God, as he has those kidney stones. We pray that he's his pain, God, and pass those. God, we just all have needs tonight. We pray for our church, as we mentioned, Lord, our church, God, needs you, Lord. We need to be working, God, to invite people into our church. We pray that you'd send us the people that we need tonight. We pray, God, for our upcoming revival, God, that you'd help us to prepare for that and help us to invite people to come here. God, and hear your word. We pray for Brother Roberts and see that you prepare. We pray, God, that you prepare our hearts for true revival, God. We repent of our sin and turn to you, Lord. And I just have a greater desire to do for you what you want us to do. God, I pray you'd help us as Christians put on the full armor of God and not withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Lord, he's out, God, to destroy our lives. He's out to destroy, God, our churches. He's out to destroy our young people, our families, God. Help us to be prepared for the onslaught that he brings against us every day. The only way we can fight him, God, is to be prepared to fight him, God. We just pray, Lord, that you give us the resources we need, and give us most of all that we desire to be what we need, and what you call us to be. We just pray for all the pastors in our area, God, across this land, across the world, that are standing behind the pulpits and preach. The counsel of God, Lord, pray you give them a backbone to stand and preach the truth, no matter what the outcome may be, just to preach the truth, God, and help us all be obedient to what you would have us to do, Lord. We're not called to determine any outcome, but to call on you to help us to do that, not to get discouraged, but Lord, to be encouraged and to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, God, for all you are, all you do for us. Everything, Lord, that we have to you, God, we just pray that you'll be with us again through our service and watch over and care for us, God, in your name this week. And Lord, we just want to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you, we praise you. In your name we pray.
Amen. Got another song? Hope Tillman's got a song. All right. Come on, buddy. Come let her rip.
to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear.
Wonderful song that speaks about the communion and fellowship that we have with our Savior. Amen. The Lord didn't just save you so you don't have to go to hell, but He saved you so He could spend time with you, fellowship with you, sup with you, restore that fellowship that was broken by sin. When God created man, He placed him in the garden, and the Lord walked with him and talked with him. Amen. And I'm thankful that we can still do that spiritually with the Lord. Aren't you? Amen. Appreciate that, Tillman. Good singing. All right, you could be turning tonight, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter number 51. Jeremiah chapter number 51. As Lord willing, we're going to finish this chapter. My desire, my goal right now is to be finished with our study of the book of Jeremiah by the time revival comes. So let's look. Let's see. Chapter 52, 34 verses. We'll see. It's possible. It might be on the verge of supernatural if we accomplish it, though. So, amen. Praise the Lord. But I'd hate to even think about going back and see when we started this study. We've been here for quite a while, but it has been a worthwhile study. We've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. Amen. I don't care how many times you read or study a book, particular book of the Bible, you'll never exhaust everything there is to see and to know. And, you know, sometimes I believe that the Lord withholds things from us that we're not ready to receive at a particular time. And then later on, he says, well, maybe you're mature enough to handle this. Amen. I believe that every book in the Bible, or every chapter, it's got some milk, but it's also got some meat. And the Holy Spirit knows what level of spiritual maturity you're at in your life as a Christian, whether you be a babe in Christ, a young man, or a mature seasoned veteran of the faith. God knows where we're at, and he knows how much truth we can handle. Amen. So hallelujah. I love the Word of God tonight. Before we start studying, I will say, I'm sure you did notice that we do have our revival flyers. I've got 500 of them printed up. So we've got plenty. Not all of them are back there. I've got a lot downstairs. So if that's not enough, then you let me know and we'll get some more. What I believe we will try to do, if possible, we'll have a door-to-door visitation this upcoming Saturday at 10:30 a.m. here at the church. So if you could come out and help, that'd be fine. Of course, we've got the store open, but we've got things arranged well enough there to where Holly can handle it while I'm away. Amen. Holly and at least one of the girls. So we'll come out here at 10:30 Saturday morning. And those of us who can go out and pass out, and what we'll do is we'll make some packets up. We'll have our flyers. We'll have maybe even some more, another flyer about the church, potentially, but definitely a flyer and a gospel tract. We'll definitely have that, and just see if we can't do some canvassing. And, you know, since I've been here, we've hit most of these areas in and around the church, but things are transient. And the people who lived even here right around the church 5 years ago, they're not there anymore. Some are, some aren't, so... Amen. If we can just reach one or two, it'd be worth it, wouldn't it? Amen. So we'll do that 10:30 on Saturday morning here at the church. And if you can't come, pray for us. And if you say, well, I want to do something, but you can't walk. Amen. Can't walk distance or anything like that. Well, maybe during that time you could come and take some flyers and put them up in businesses or something. Or maybe you can't come Saturday, but you want to schedule time on your own to go out and do some kind of promotion. I wouldn't encourage you to go by yourself. Have somebody with you. You never know what you're going to run into nowadays. But amen. Let's see if we can sow some seed and trust the Lord to give us a harvest of fruit. Amen. I believe God will do that if we'll be faithful. All right. I do believe we got... Let's see how far we did get. You'd be amazed at just how many notes I've got here. But tell you what we'll do. Let's begin reading verse 50. Verse 50. I think we covered that, but that's a good place to... No, yeah, verse 50. Let me make sure that my notes... line up with. Sometimes I'm bad at just assuming that I've got my scripture verses correct. All right. Yes, let's do that. Verse number 50. Let's read the remainder of the chapter. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your minds. For we are confounded, because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces. For strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images. And through all her land the wounded shall groan, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall the spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction for the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompense shall surely requite. And I'll make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commandeth Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and this Sariah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither shall man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, God, for this night. Thank you for this service, the privilege we have to fellowship together as saints, pray, and Lord, just most of all, glean the truth that you've especially prepared for us tonight. And God, I pray that we would open our hearts and our minds, and there wouldn't be any hindrance. God, help us to unstop the wells of sin, anything that might come between us and receiving the truth that Lord, you have for us tonight. Lord, remove it, get out of the way. And God, that your word might find good ground. Lord, tonight, Lord, I love you. I love these people. Most of all, I love the scriptures. And I pray that we would exalt your word. And Lord, just proclaim, thus saith the Lord, regardless of whether it's popular or unpopular, regardless of how it's received. Lord, I pray that in a world where the word of God is Lord, is less value and in less significance or importance than it ever has been. God, I pray that we would hold fast and hold true and realize that your words are more precious than gold. They're sweeter than honey to our souls. Father, honor your word. Exalt your son by way of your humble servant. We'll praise you in advance for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Carly, get me some water if you don't mind, baby. All right, again, we said here that verse number 50, you have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. This really is the primary thrust of chapter number 51, and that is, you know, get out of Babylon. You know, there's nothing in Babylon. Certainly we need to know that again, the world and the church are, amen, they have irreconcilable difference. They cannot mesh or mingle together. And come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That is the philosophy of the Word of God, even if it might be contrary to the modern day ideas being promoted in the church. Amen. Get comfortable to the world. Be like the world. Conform to the world. Well, that's not the message of the Bible. Amen. So remember the Lord afar off. And again, I think we said this the other night. It's hard to remain focused upon the Lord when you're inundated and saturated with Babylon. You know, that's why I have so much respect for Daniel. Daniel, he was in Babylon. Amen. You talk about a man who was distracted. It was Daniel. I mean, they tried to change his name, or they changed his name, tried to change his diet, tried to change his religion. But again, Daniel was faithful. You say, why was he faithful? Well, it wasn't by accident or coincidence. He purposed within himself. It meant enough to Daniel to remain pure and to remain undefiled in a fallen world and in an undefiled world, in a defiled world. And I'll tell you what, that's not an easy thing to do. But you know, the condition of the world's not an excuse for the condition of God's people. Amen. Just because the world is dirtier than it ever has been doesn't mean God doesn't expect us to be clean. God expects us to be holy. The world may be unholy, but Peter said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Right? And again, we want to lower our standard to the world standard or to another Christian standard. It's all right for me to do it because brother such and such or so and so. No, brother. Jesus, live up to the standard that He set for you. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. And again, the fact that the world is so dark and in such a mess as it is, that's just an opportunity up for us to allow our cleanness and the brightness of our light. Amen. And our holiness to stick out and stand out and to be different so we can make a difference. Amen. Again, but it is hard to remain focused upon the Lord when you're inundated and saturated with Babylon. Babylon will distract you. Amen. Babylon will defile you. Babylon will distort your vision. It was hard for people. You know, it's another thing that was so amazing about Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah got a burden because of what he had heard. Amen. But nowadays we can hear about it, but we're so wrapped up in Babylon that it doesn't affect us. Amen. So we've got to remember the Lord, even when the world's afar off. Now there's a meditation, and let Jerusalem come into your minds. Amen. I want to be heavenly minded tonight, don't you? Again, you can be so... Of course, there's two sides to this. Somebody said, well, you can be so earthly minded that you're of no heavenly good. Well, that's true, but it works both ways. You can be so heavenly minded that we can be of no earthly good. And what I mean by that, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but I don't want to let my belief in the imminence of the rapture, give me an excuse or a cop-out why I can't, be passionate and zealous about the Lord's work. Well, there's no use for us to witness because the trumpet might sound today. No, that's a reason for you to witness. Amen? It ought to promote a sense of urgency in our lives. In decision, we are confounded, verse 51, because we have heard reproach. Again, God's people couldn't make up their mind because of what they had heard about the condition of Jerusalem. Again, are we going to stay in Babylon? Remember when Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel, led the remnant out of Persia and back to Jerusalem, the majority of God's people stayed in Persia. Why? Because their lives were a whole lot more comfortable there in the world, in Babylon, rather than at home with God's people. The work, the living conditions would have been difficult, like pioneers out on the prairie, amen. Somebody's got to do the sacrifice, put forth the effort so others could enjoy it. And that's the problem today. We're living off the blood, sweat, and tears of our forefathers. Amen. But if we're not willing to put forth the effort, there's not going to be anything left for our children and our grandchildren to enjoy, amen. So somebody's got to be willing to pay the price. And sad to say, because God's people were indecisive, the majority of them stayed in Persia and never returned to their homeland. There was an indecision, but now there was a humiliation. Shame hath covered our faces. And I said this, they were humiliated because of what they had heard about their beloved city. Well, once again, I said, and I know we talked about this, the condition of the church is no excuse to run to the world. Amen. So many of God's people, you know what's happened today? God's people bailed on the church because they viewed the church as being so bad. But can I say to you that the condition of the church ought to motivate us to put forth a greater effort, amen, to save it and to salvage it and to support it, amen. And listen, everybody else might quit, but if I quit, who's left? I mean, we've seen better days here at United for sure, but what happens if we quit like the rest of the crowd? Somebody got to keep going, amen. And again, the condition of the church is no excuse for us to run to the world. Now there's a habitation for strangers or come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Boy, that's a problem, isn't it? Amen. The Babylonians had come in and raided the sanctuary of God and taken out the treasures. Amen. They'd spoiled the house of God. You know that's what happens when a mixed multitude comes into God's house? Now, don't get me wrong, lost people ought to be welcome at church, but they ought not to be comfortable at church. See, that's the problem today. What we've done is we have conformed the church to worldly ideologies and worldly philosophies, and may I say to you, whatever it takes to bring them in is going to be whatever it takes to keep them there. See, and what they do is, you know, we bring them in And again, you've got more of a worldly environment in your church, which fosters a worldly attitude in your church. And then, then the world spoils the church. Amen. We have got to protect God's house. Hey, listen, you know, we ought to welcome a homosexual or transgender into God's house. But that doesn't mean they can come in here and change who we are to fit their agenda. See, that's what's happening. Yeah, oh yeah, Jesus would have welcomed. Yeah, he sure would have. Amen. But he wasn't going to tolerate their behavior. Right? Uh-huh. So, strangers are coming to the sanctuary of God's house. And when that happens, the house of God is spoiled. Amen. A lot of so-called churches, amen, they've been spoiled by the leaven. Amen. The milk's gone bad. Right? God's house had been hijacked by strangers. Hey, this place ought not be for sale. The devil ought not be able to hijack the house of God. But that's what's happening. Now there's a repetition, verse 52. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven image. So again, the narrative now goes back away from God's people back to Babylon. Her graven images. That was, amen, Babylon was known for her idols, for her false gods. In fact, I would argue tonight that all of what we see as far as, amen, mystery religion and all of the false religions of the world can be traced back to the influence of Babylon. Amen. God hates idols. And if there's anything that will hair-lip God quicker than anything else, it's when his people begin to worship something or somebody else besides him. Amen. He won't put up with that. He wouldn't put up with it in Babylon. He won't do it in America. You know, that I believe that America's downfall and demise ultimately will be traced back to her idols. We've made idols out of everything. We've made idols out of our money. The American dream. Listen, I'm thankful for that our standard of living here in America, you know, thank God for it. But what God intended to be a blessing, we've turned it into a curse. And now we worship our lifestyles more than we do the one that gave it to us. Amen. Our money.
our 401k retirement plan. Amen. You know, you got, I'll get in trouble. I never have filled. Listen, you know what? Some churches, they have classes and seminars on how to manage your retirement plan. And again, how to do yours, you know, which I'm telling the truth tonight. I'm talking about conservative, quote, Bible-believing churches. They'll have classes on the stock market. Brother, I ain't saying there's anything wrong with investing in the stock market, but keep that out of God's house. It has no place within the walls of a church. Amen? Amen. Do you know there's a lot of good Christian people? Amen. They love God, but they love their money too. Ain't nothing wrong with having money. But when you love money more than you do, or even when your love for money and your love for your wealth and your love for your riches, you say, well, it's my money. I'm the one who made it. Amen. I'm the one who spent all these years working for it so I can do with it what I want to. Brother, you've got a false perspective. Amen. God's the one that allowed you to have that job so you could work all those years to make that money. And brother, you better be concerned about not how you want to use it and manage, but how He would have you to. How in the world I get off on that? Graven images, idols, false gods. Boy, they'd run me out of some churches on a rail for saying that. Do you know that religion, you know what the God of a lot of religious institutions and religious organizations and religious denominations? The almighty dollar. You know, the money makes the world go round, isn't what you heard? Well, in a lot of cases, it's what makes a church go round too. And that ought not be the case. There is a business side of the work of God. Amen. But spirituality is more important than finance. Amen. All through her land, the wounded shall groan. Verse 52. You know, it reminds me of our, you know, again, there's a verse that we studied last week about how that, you know, the slain, their young men who had been slain during the battle, they were slain on their own soil. And we talked about how long it's been here in America since, you know, we've got places you can go, even here locally. Battlefields, that, you know, memorials that commemorate where hundreds and thousands of young soldiers died and shed their blood on battlefields here in America. But boy, it's been a long time since that's happened, hadn't it? But you know, during a great battle, they talk about the wounded that are strewn throughout, you know. And they say it, you know, some of the great battles of the Civil War, Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, that you could walk across one side of the battlefield to the other and your feet they wouldn't have to rest on soil. You could go from one body, you know, to another. That's how, you know, and that's something that's hard for us to comprehend, you know. But again, if we study Jeremiah, one of the threefold judgment, you know, the plague, the pestilence, the famine, amen, and warfare. Amen. Many times God uses warfare to bring judgment upon nations who have forsaken Him. All right, now there's a fortification, verse 53. I got to hurry. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength. You know, again, just like some of these other nations that we studied, whether it be Ammon or Moab or Edom or Egypt, Gaza, you know, they trusted in their fortifications. They trusted in their borders and their boundaries. But you know, the truth of the matter is no amount of fortification or protection would protect Babylon from her demise, which was ordained and prescribed by God. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm all about border security. I believe that any nation be foolish not to protect and guard her borders. But you know what? We'd be better having an open border and trust the hedge of God to protect us and keep us safe than we would to build a wall all around the United States. Because I'm just telling you, if God if God ordains and if God decrees the judgment of America or any other nation, there ain't no wall or border going to be able to keep it from happening, brother. Amen? That's right. So there's a prevention. Yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. God would send spoilers to rob Babylon of her great wealth and financial and natural resources. Pretty much every war that's ever been fought, you know, there's always a motive. There's always a cause. And a lot of times it's not, you know, it's not as moral as it likes to be presented. A lot of times it's money. You know, a lot of the wars that, I hate to say it, but a lot of the wars that America has, you know, been involved in, that in reality she probably had no business being involved in, were fought, amen, over oil. Am I telling the truth tonight? Amen. You know, natural resources. I believe that there's a case that can be made that that's why the war is being waged right now in Ukraine, is because of natural resources. Again, natural gas. You know, some of the greatest hotbeds of natural gas resources are found in Ukraine. But again, it's all about, and I've even heard some talk about during the Battle of Gog and Magog, how that the hook and the jaw that God uses to draw these nations out to battle will be natural resources such as oil or some other great commodity that is discovered in Israel. But again, God would send spoilers to rob Babylon of her great wealth and financial and natural resources. Boy, God's blessed America, hadn't he? Man, wealthy, industry, technology, money, you name it, materially. I mean, God has blessed us, but you don't think there's some of our enemies that are just drooling and chomping at the bit, amen, to spoil us and to rob us of that which God's... Boy, wouldn't it be bad for the blessings that God bestowed upon us to fall into the hands of our enemies? Right. There's a lamentation, verse 54, a sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, a destruction and great destructions from the land of the Chaldeans. Not going to expound on that very much. Let's move to 55, a suppression. Because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and has destroyed out of her the great voice. Now I want you to think about this. Babylon, again, at that point in time, was the most powerful empire in the world. We've talked about that, how that on Daniel's great vision, the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the first great empire in the world. And you know, you know what that produced? That produced a worldwide influence. She had an influential voice. Wouldn't you say that over the last couple of centuries that America has been one of the superpowers of the world, that we have had a voice of influence? And I'm talking about the voice of Christianity that has been promoted, from within our borders. And it's, you know, the light has shined all throughout the world, all because of America's great influence. Her industrial influence, her technological influence, her military influence. Again, Europe really, it just irked me to no end to see our former president apologizing to the leaders of Europe. Europe ought to kiss our feet. They'd be speaking German if it wouldn't have been for the influence and the might of America. But you know what? With the downfall of a nation, what accompanies that is the influence of that nation. Right? Would you not agree with me tonight to say that America's influence is waning? Our voice is not as powerful, is not as great as what it once was. We don't have the authority to dictate and to determine what other nations do. Amen? And boy, that's right. And I'm afraid that, the peace and the worldwide peace and security that has come about for years and years, all because of America's influence, amen, that may, with America's demise,
You know, peace may flee and destruction may come all throughout the world.
That's right.
An assertion.
Verse 55, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Now, again, a couple of possibilities here. Jeremiah could be describing the magnitude and the roar of Babylon's influential voice, or he could be describing the roar of the voice of her enemies that was rising up. A confiscation, verse 56. I'm getting somewhere. I really want us to focus on the end of this chapter. Because the spoiler has come upon her, even upon Babylon, other nations of the world, again, coveted after Babylon's wealth. A captivation, verse 56, and her mighty men are taken. Her armies would be captured. Verse number 56, a debilitation. Every one of their bows is broken. Babylon's weapons would be destroyed, something we've touched on in previous lessons. But friend, we don't need to be, dependent upon our weapons. The might and the power of our weaponry, amen. You know, the thing about America's weapons is they're great, but they depend on technology. And all it would take is for our enemies to hijack our technology, and that would pretty much, cancel out the power of our weaponry. Now there's an affirmation, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. God was simply repaying, retributing, and recompensing Babylon according to that which she was deserving of. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. You know, I thought about, you know, there's people say some foolish things, don't they? And I believe it was, you know, they're trying to attribute everything to climate change nowadays. And somebody went on The View, I believe. I don't watch that no way. That's a waste. I'll hold my breath. That'd be more value. That would be a better investment of my time than to watch The View. But one of them nuts come on there and tried to attribute the earthquakes, the recent earthquakes, and the eclipse was an effect of climate change. I mean, I've seen stupid, but that pretty much takes the cake right there, does it not? Amen. But you know, I believe it was Oprah yesterday. That's another one, right? I believe she came out yesterday and said, "Well, I never thought." That I never found, didn't think abortion was one of the Ten Commandments. That's what she said. Amen. Well, the last time I checked, thou shalt not kill. Right? Isn't that what it says? And by the way, our beloved golden prince, you know what I'm getting ready to say? Mr. Trump. He's waffling, he's wobbling on the axle when it comes to abortion. Amen. He put the statement out the other day. And brother, if that's not compromise, I don't know what is. And I'm just telling you, you can do what you want to do, but you're looking at one pastor, and y'all know where I stood in the last election. Amen. But if he's not a man of principle, if he wins a vote, let him win it on the vote of the liberals. I'm not going to vote for a man, that enables the killing of babies. You do what you want to do. Amen. We wouldn't be any better off than we are right now. You know what we need? We need God's favor. Amen. Trump ain't our Savior. Jesus is. Amen. Amen. You know, stand on what got you there in the first place. That's right. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. Intoxication, verse 57. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men. God would cause and it was God causing it. The leadership of Babylon to become intoxicated so that they were naive, unaware, and oblivious to the threats of their enemies. And that's what happened the night that Persia invaded and conquered Babylon. They were in a drunken stupor. They were having a big party. You know, here's verse 57, an oblivion. They shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake. Amen. Do you know that who God puts in office a lot of times is that's an expression of God's judgment?
So I've already dissed on one candidate. Let me diss on the other for a minute. Is that all right? Could it be divine judgment that the most important and influential person in our country, who is responsible for our national security and protection, is most likely a prime candidate for an Alzheimer's or dementia ward? Is that not the truth? God, help us. You know, we're in worse shape. We're in worse shape than what we realize. Amen. You say, who are you going to vote for? I might vote for Bozo. Huh? That's right. No, I'll write in William Travis is what I'll write in. A certification. Saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Brother, these words were authorized. Amen. They carried weight with them. This wasn't just speculation or sensation. Amen. This was the authority. This was not Jeremiah's words, but it was the official decree and mandate sent out by Jehovah Sabaoth. Uh-huh. Verse 58, an annihilation. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken. Even the impressive, high, thick, and broadened walls of Babylon that almost seemed impregnable and impenetrable would not be able to save or protect the city. Again, I'm all for a border, but brother, we need God's border. We need His hedge. We need His shield. And if you think we got that right now, you're crazy. Help me. An incineration, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The high and towering gates of the city that were designed to protect the city and keep the enemy out would be burned with fire and open so that anyone would be able to enter. Could it be that the current border crisis is an expression of God's judgment? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, few years down the road, looking back at it and seeing how the demise and the destruction of America, how it all played out and manifested itself, could it be that God said, I'm going to open your gates wide open so that your enemy could come in uninhibited? Right? Hey, listen, that's not insignificant. You know what, in reality, you know what our political leaders are allowing as far, and this is, this could, that's an act of treason. Amen. They're putting their political, agenda over the safety and well-being of this nation. And that's an act of treason. Yes, sir. The desperation. The people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. You know, the inhabitants of Babylon who would desperately try to save the city, so that they were willing to brave the flames of the fire that would be unable to save it. You know, brave people stood and tried to defend it and protect it, but it was unsalvageable. You know, I've said this, and again, my number one allegiance is to this flag, the Christian flag. And if I ever have to choose between America and Christianity, I'm gonna choose Jesus. That being said, I believe America. I have always believed that America was worth fighting for. I've always believed that. But you know, there may come a point in time, and we may not be that far off where, you know, it's unsalvageable. Just like a ship that's been torpedoed by the Japanese during World War II, the only thing they can do is scuttle it. Amen. Could it be that there's going to come a point in time to where everything that our forefathers fought, bled, and died for, amen, and say, well, we got to do the same. Well, it's not a worthwhile fight. Because there's no saving a ship that's destined to sink. That's sobering, and that's serious. And I don't say that shallowly. That's a very serious statement. But it's something that we could be headed in that direction. A delegation, verse 59. The word which, here we go, this is what I want us to end on, these last couple of verses. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. So what we see here is Jeremiah entrusted a man, he was a prince, named Sariah, who just so happened to accompany King Zedekiah on his journey to Babylon. Of course, Zedekiah was the last king who ruled in over Judah before Judah was destroyed. But Jeremiah entrusted a man named Sariah to deliver this inspired prophetic message to the city of Babylon. Do you know that's what God's done with us? He's entrusted us to deliver the message to those who are in danger of falling in under God's judgment. Just like Jonah. You know, that's why, you know, that I believe that's why God dealt so harshly with Jonah. Because thousands of souls depended upon Jonah's faithfulness. And brother, for us to buck our responsibility and our commission of sharing the message of truth with a world, amen, that is in danger of falling it under the heaviness of God's wrath and judgment. That's a serious matter. Amen. I don't want to stand before God one day with people's blood on my hands because I wasn't faithful in giving out the warning. Amen. Look at his reputation, verse 59. Sariah was a quiet prince. In other words, it was according to Sariah's nature to be quiet, to be soft-spoken, and to be non-confrontational. Amen. And I'm sure it took everything within this man, and it probably would have been too much to ask of him through in his own ability and strength to fulfill the commission that was placed upon him. But brother, you may be quiet-natured, and you may be non-confrontational. Amen. And you may be soft-spoken, but that doesn't amen. That doesn't excuse you from giving out the message of truth. Right? Amen. And God, if God could give Sariah the strength to do it, God can give you the strength to do it as well. Amen. Now there's a transcription, verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. So what we see here, God is the one that inspired the words of the prophecy. Jeremiah transcribed them and wrote them down as official records in a book. Amen. And we have access to that today, right? Amen. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means you just can't take the Bible and let it say whatever you want it to say or mean. Amen. The Catholics would use this verse to say that man doesn't have the ability to interpret Scripture, that they need a pope or a priest to interpret it for them. Amen. I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what we see. We see the inspiration by God, the transcription by Jeremiah. Now let's see the publication. Verse 61. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words. God inspired it. Jeremiah wrote it down. And it was Sariah's job to speak it out, proclaim it, and publish it to the Babylonian people. Friend, we don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new inspired word of prophecy. Amen. You know what you're trying to, when you do that, first of all, you're saying what God said is not enough. We need something more. I want to be satisfied with what's already been spoken and written down. Amen. That's right. But second of all, you're trying to, amen, you're not staying in your lane. You're trying to take upon yourself something that you don't have the authority to do, and that is to give out, amen, to produce inspired truth. Amen. Amen. Don't you listen to somebody that says, I have an inspired word of prophecy from God, unless he's quoting the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. Amen. But it is our responsibility to proclaim and publish what God's already spoken.
Amen? Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Never will obey, will they? Never will all obey. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. All right, now here's what I want to share with you. For one thing, you ought to be thankful that you... This is one reason I love America, because being born in America is one thing that God used to as an instrument to make sure I heard God's word. Amen? Now, that's not saying that if I lived somewhere else that God couldn't allow... But I'm just thankful... Y'all listen. I'm thankful that I was born in a place where openly proclaiming Scripture is legal. Amen? I'm thankful for that. Right? And because of that, that ought to motivate me to make sure that I tell others. Why? Just like those, those fellas, you know, when, they was eating donkey's head and dove's dung in Samaria. They were besieged by the enemy. I mean, it was a bad situation. But yet, those lepers that were outside the gates of the city, they just happened to fall upon the enemy camp that God had used the angel to drive off the night before. Amen. And those lepers spoiled the enemy camp. So they had a choice. Were they going to selfishly enjoy the spoil they had found, keep it to themselves? Or were they going to take it back into the city to those who were starving and who were so desperate for food that they had resorted to eating dove's dung and donkey's head? Right? Amen. So that was the choice they had. And what did they do? Well, they did what sharing the gospel is all about. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Amen? And that's what Sariah was... That's what he was supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We complicate this thing. You know, your success as a Christian has nothing to do with how many people you live to the Lord, win to the Lord. It has everything to do with how many people you have warned and have shared the message that's been commissioned into your care. You know, again, 2 Corinthians 5 says that he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has committed. You know why United Baptist Church is worth keeping the doors open? Why this church is still important in God's eyes? Amen. Because it's a mail depot. this church and every other God-ordained Bible-believing Baptist church spread throughout this community, it's a mail depot. God has ordained every local Bible-believing church and is established so that we might take the mail that he sent to us and send it out in our community and around the world. That's a big deal, isn't it? Amen. All right. Pronunciation. But boy, here's where it gets... Well, I'm just telling you, this is heavy stuff right here. Verse 62. And I'm finished tonight. Then thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. Man, I'll tell you, that's not an easy message to give out, is it? Just like Nathan, when he was the prophet, and he was responsible to point his finger in David's face and say, thou art the man. The message of Sariah was not easy or popular, but he was still responsible to declare it as being thus saith the Lord. You know what? God didn't. That's another thing that people do that they don't have the authority to do. That's change the message. Make the message more seeker friendly. Amen. Or, again, make it easier to receive. Brother, if I had cancer, if I had terminal cancer, I don't want some doctor to walk in there and tell me, you know, you're just a little bit sick, but you're going to be okay. No, I want the truth. And it's not always easy to tell the truth, but God needs some people who are man enough in our day to be willing to tell the truth in spite of the consequences. And brother, just like there was consequences in Jeremiah's day, there's consequences in our day for telling the truth. A desertion, verse 63. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. Do you understand? God inspired it. Jeremiah transcribed it. And Sariah, is that his name? Okay. He's the one that proclaimed it. But do you understand the value of that tablet or whatever it was written, or that scroll? I mean, that's a valuable piece of parchment or whatever it was. But as valuable as it was, it's inspired, transcribed, and proclaimed. It'd be rejected, ignored, refused, and would be discarded, thrown in the trash as if a stone were tied around it and cast into a river. That's what happened. That's what, I mean, in other words, it's almost like God was saying through Jeremiah, hey, Sarai, you might as well, you read it, because it's going to be a form of accountability to those who will reject it. But then after you've read it, you might as well just take it and throw it in the river, because it's not worth anything to them. And brother, I'm telling you, the value of any society can be determined upon how much, or no, the spiritual condition of any society or culture can be determined by the value they place upon the inspired truth of God's Word. And you know, to most people, you know, to a lot of preachers in our day, you know how valuable the Word of God is? They might as well just cast it into the river, because it ain't worth nothing to them. That's sad, isn't it? You know, certainly to our leaders and public figures, the Word of God, which is the foundation of this nation, the success and prosperity and longevity of the United States of America, can be directly attributed to our allegiance to thus saith the Lord. But now all we've done, take it, amen, just might as well just cut it up, and amen, just take it and just throw it over the bridge into the Nolichucky River. Amen. Brother, there's one of these days when people would like another chance, another opportunity to hear what the Bible says. Well, they may not place any value on it, but I want to make sure here at United Baptist Church that the Word of God is more precious than gold, and is sweeter to our lips than honey in the comb. Verse 64, thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Listen to me tonight, church. Babylon's rejection of God's Word would end up being symbolic of the Lord's rejection of Babylon. You know what? Babylon sunk because they let the Word of God sink. You know, any church that lets God's Word sink will eventually sink. Any family that lets the Word of God sink will eventually sink. We need to uphold and extol God's Word. Keep it on the throne. Keep it high and lifted up in its rightful place. Because it always has been and always will be the source of our strength. The day we let God's Word sink is the day we're going to sink. The day we reject the Bible is the day that God will reject us. And I got all kinds of scripture. So let the Word of God alone. God will let you alone. Abandon the Bible. God will abandon you. That's right. Incompletion. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. See, the whole story had not been written. And brother,
that's what scares me so much about where we're at right now in our country. And that is, we don't know the rest of the story. That could be a good thing. Right? And again, ain't no politician going to save us, but, you know, wouldn't it be great if God would raise somebody up, man of principle, to stand on what's right? Amen. Put truth over their pocketbook or their position. Amen. God could still save and salvage America. But brother, until we put what that Bible says over and above what any party, any figure, or any personality, or any philosophy says, I believe sooner or later, you know what God might be doing right now? I mean, He may be tying a rock around the legs of America. He says, I'm the one that builds you up. I'm going to be the one that brings you down. And it could be that because we've let the Word of God sink, God's getting ready to throw us in the river. Toss us in the trash. Let her alone! She's of no worth. She's of no value. She's of no use. Amen. She's just like a ship that needs to be scuttled because she's unsalvageable and she's unsavable. But that's some scary and sobering words. But I'm afraid that we're on the verge of those words becoming reality. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, I love you. Done my best to preach tonight. Lord, I don't take any pleasure out of these words. But Lord, I think about where Babylon was. And God, Lord, that's an expression of grace. Lord, the message was harsh. The message was hard. It was tough. But Lord, the fact that you inspired it, that you wrote it down, and Lord, you went out of your way to find a man who was soft-spoken to go and to speak the words. Lord, that's an expression of grace. Lord, when in a day when where we want to label truth preachers as troublemakers and those who would uphold the standard of God's Word as the problem rather than the solution. Father, I'm afraid that we're following the same path as other nations. And Father, Lord, America may be viewed today as an unsinkable ship, when in reality, just like the Titanic, the iceberg may have already hit. And Lord, we may be on the verge of being unsavable. Lord, that's a harsh message, and it's not one that I hope comes to fruition. And Lord, I'm not preaching, I'm not prophesying. Lord, in wrath, would you remember mercy? But God, if you did it then, and I'm not talking about revival, but Lord, if you did it then, you can do it again. You will do it again. So Lord, help us to repent and turn to you before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.